The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, the jersey that Diego Maradona wore for his Hand of God goal sold for $9 million.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I overpaid. It's way too tight. It's like 5'5". I don't know why I bought it and tried to put it on. Idiotic.
You know what? You could just go out, buy one, get a fake signature, put it in a frame on your wall, and just tell people you won it at auction. You outbid it on. $9 million? Seriously?
For $9 million, you ought to buy one and get one free. That's a lot of money. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Celtics bounce back. Dusty Baker wins his 2000th game, and the NCAA goes after boosters. But we begin today with Warriors coach Steve Kerr saying last night that Memphis's Dillon Brooks, quote, broke the code and committed a, quote, dirty foul when Brooks swatted at Gary Payton II, which resulted in a hard fall and a broken elbow, and Payton is out indefinitely. Wilbon, do you agree that Brooks broke the code, and what does this injury mean for the rest of the series, considering Payton was often the primary defender on Ja Morant?
Yeah, Tone, I didn't spend much time last night when I was watching this on breaking the code. I did text. I was texting, as I often do at night, with former players I've been friendly with for decades. And yes, they agreed with that. Then you move on from that. I mean, he broke Gary Payton's elbow. I mean, this is what he broke. That's the significant break here. It was a dirty play. And I talk to people who don't think that Dillon Brooks, in his short history, is a dirty player, but he committed what a lot of people said was a dirty play. Everybody said. And so now you have a situation where you're looking at Ja Morant, who could score, you know, Ja Morant may score 60 points in a playoff game. I mean, he's that great. He's that spectacular. He's that unstoppable. Gary Payton Jr. is the guy that Golden State has who is the most likely, the best equipped to get in front of him and stay in front of him a few possessions, to go up with him, to elevate and stay up in the air with him. I mean, Gary Payton Jr. is that guy. Gary Payton Jr. has some of what his dad had, which is all-time great defensive greatness. Not as consistently as his Hall of Fame father, but he can do this, and you need to stop Ja. Not stop him, but if he had 40 last night instead of 47, then, you know, maybe Golden State wins a game. So this is a serious injury and a serious absence and a great offense.
Yeah. So I don't really know what it means to break the code. I gather it somewhere in the area of, you know, risking injury and even putting a guy's career in jeopardy.
Yes.
Did I think it was a dirty play? Yes. Did I think there was malicious intent? I'm not sure. What I am sure of is exactly what you are saying, that he's out now, so he can't guard Ja Morant. But you know what? I don't know that anybody can guard Ja Morant successfully. I'm not sure that's true. What I find interesting about this, Mike, is I think this goes back to what happened in game one with Draymond Green. Draymond Green, we both agreed, did not deserve a flagrant two. But was right. Given a flagrant two. After that, and I want to get all the names right here, Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark said after the game, that's who he is. That's what we expect from him. And in response, Draymond Green said, nobody's going to tell me how to play. I'll play the way I want to play. And to me, that heightened all the tensions. And I think it maybe supercharged Memphis's players physically and made them defensive. And I think it led directly to this kind of thing. And I'll say this, Mike. I think Adam Silver may want to make a phone call to both these teams before game three.
Yeah.
Because you don't want this to get out of hand.
I agree with you that this went back to like 1980s. I mean, you and I have seen plenty of these kinds of playoff exchanges and we thought it was over because the league, like the NFL said about player safety and conversation, we can't have this. We don't want this. The NHL has said this to a degree. And so this has kind of been scrubbed from all the team sports, no matter how supercharged a playoff series is. And now, Tone, you got this again. And I think Adam Silver may have to get involved. You can't have this anymore. I know you could have it in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and guys fought like crazy in the 60s, our heroes. You can't have it now. You can't. Let's move to the NCAA's plan to slow down some of the name, image, and likeness money machine. Sports Illustrated reports that the NCAA plans to clarify that boosters and booster-led collectives are prohibited from involvement in recruiting. Said one official, quote, "We let things get out of hand," close quote. Tony, is getting boosters out of the recruiting process good for college sports? And is that even possible?
So coincidentally, on my podcast this morning, I had Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated. And one of the things that Pat covers, of course, is college athletics. And we were talking about how it's the Wild West out there now. And it's the reason it's the Wild West, because of the NCAA. The NCAA, for years, refused to pay athletes on any level. They tried to stonewall this up until the point that state legislatures passed laws allowing name, image, and likeness, and the NCAA had nothing to do but get out of the way. And as Pat Forty says, when the dam breaks, you can't control the waters. You just can't, not for a long time. Boosters are actively recruiting athletes. They are waving checkbooks in the air at this point, and athletes are going to stand there and try and catch the money. Who didn't expect this, Mike? Exactly who did not expect this to happen?
Well, Tony, you're right on everything you said. And let me go way further. I'm a booster, okay? A season ticket holder and a booster. The NCAA can't stop me from doing anything. The NCAA can't stop a whole lot of richer people from doing anything, from contacting the players, from creating name, image, and likeness laboratories to which to attract these players. The NCAA, as I've said this years ago, and I'm sorry because the reference is outdated now, they're Barney Fife. They're out there, Tony, just looking at the cars go by at 150 miles an hour. They have no idea what they're saying. They're fools. To the notion that they can stop it or slow it is idiotic. And this is why the NCAA is irrelevant. And boosters, let me say again, I'm one of them. We treat the NCAA like they are just non-existent. The NCAA is not going to do squat. It's an empty threat. Yeah. Nobody's going to pay attention, not the schools, the boosters, the athletes, or the parents.
It's not even that. It's not what they aren't going to do. They shouldn't be allowed to do anything. They created this mess. People are out there now recruiting high school kids. They're recruiting through the transfer portal. And kids are going to lose loyalty to schools, certainly, even to coaches, because they're going to go where the money is. We have chaos now. This is the new normal now. There will be a market correction, but not tonight, kids. Not tonight. We move on.
And it's the market,
Dusty
Baker, not the NCAA.
That's right. The market will correct it. You're right.
Yes.
Dusty Baker became the 12th manager to reach 2,000 wins when the Astros beat the Mariners last night. Baker has managed five different teams, the Giants, the Cubs, the Reds, the Nationals, and the Astros. He's never won the World Series, but he has won division titles and gone to the playoffs with all of those teams. Wilbon, how important is 2,000 wins?
It's not important at all. And let me tie this to something specific that I saw last night. I don't know, maybe on multiple networks about the crawl. Dusty Baker becomes the first black manager to win 2,000 games, and it angered me. I'm going to go back to a day you and I sat shoulder to shoulder in New Orleans in 1982 when Big John Thompson was on the verge of becoming the first. He didn't win that game, but he was asked about this because he was on the verge of becoming the first African-American coach to win a national championship in college basketball. And Big John said, "I'm going to attack the question, not you, because the question presumes that there were no black coaches before me who could have won the national championship. When the only fact here is they were not allowed the chance to win this many games in Dusty Baker's case or the national championship in Big John's case. That's all it is. Isn't that like Frank Robinson couldn't have won 2,000 games? So the notion that all we do now is keep score, that we can't tell any narrative without tying it to numbers, that people aren't even smart enough to look at the issue and discuss whatever it is you want to discuss about Dusty Baker's worthiness, his greatness as a manager over a long, long period of time. No, we got to tie it to some stupid number. And as you can tell, it angers me greatly.
So let me give people the list of everybody from, you know, before Dusty Baker. There's Connie Mack, Tony La Russa, John McGraw, Bobby Cox, Joe Torre, Sparky Anderson, Bucky Harris, Joe McCarthy, Walter Alston, Leo DeRocher, Bruce Bochy, and Dusty. All of them are in the Hall of Fame now except Bochy because he's not eligible yet and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And Dusty Baker needs to be in the Hall of Fame. By the way, he played 19 years in the majors. He won a World Series as a player with the Dodgers in 1981. He's been a wonderful manager. There are a lot of people who haven't necessarily won the ring. He's got to be in the Hall of Fame. What he's done at Houston, which was a dumpster fire, to go in there and calm the waters after they fired A.J. Hinch and everybody hated the Astros, to bring them to the World Series, to become the face of that team, to a degree, as far as I'm concerned, he's done a great job, and we're both happy
Tremendous.
For him. We're both, he managed our teams.
But we don't
teams.
Need to tie it to
Cubs,
2000.
He managed the Nets. No,
we don't need to tie it to a stupid, phony number. Stop it.
No, you're right. Let's take a break. Coming up, is Boston back on track after beating Milwaukee last night? We're going to ask Kendrick Perkins.
Two generations of people that can't tell a story about stupid numbers. We'll also ask him whether he's ever seen a fall off like the one James Harden appears to be in right now. Numbers.
By the way,
let's make
with
up
Dusty,
some numbers.
With all of those players, the only better player on that list is Joe Torre.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get back into the NBA playoffs with our best friend in the whole wide world, Kendrick Perkins. And we're going to start with Steve Kerr and what he said last night. And I will ask you, did Dillon Brooks break the code when he fouled Gary Payton II?
Yes. Not only did he break the code, he was out of line. He crossed the line. Look, you cannot do that. That play cannot happen if you're Dillon Brooks. And a lot of people out here are in denial saying he didn't do it with intentions. It wasn't intentional. Yes, it was. He fouled him on purpose with the mindset of, I got to make sure that he feel me. And with that being said, he needs to be suspended for game 3 and possibly game 4. Like, you can't do that. He broke the code. We know what coaches and what we preach in that film room when we're going over plays and talking about personnel, et cetera, et cetera. And that is one point that we bring up. When a guy is in the air on a fast break and you have no chance to actually make a play on the ball and foul him, then you let him go.
Kirk, we're going to move to something a little closer to home for you, and that is your former team, the one you won a championship with, the Boston Celtics. They beat Milwaukee pretty handily last night, particularly in that first half. With what you saw from them last night, are you convinced they are back on track to where they were right up through that series against Brooklyn?
You know what? I do, because of their leader. And I'm not talking about Jason Tatum, and I'm not talking about Jaylen Brown. I'm talking about Ime Udoka. When your team respond the way that the Celtics responded in game 2 after being punked in game 1, That's a reflection of the coach. That tells me that Ime Udoka walked in the film room and held everyone accountable, including the superstars. The way that Jaylen Brown attacked that first half, that was a reflection of Ime Udoka. And this season, every time the Celtics go through adversity or has had went through adversity, they bounce back in great fashion, and it's because of Ime Udoka.
We got staying in the East, Miami Sixers, game two tonight. Perk, have you ever seen a fall off like the one James Harden appears to be going through right now?
You know what? The last time I seen this type of fall off was somewhat of Allen Iverson a little bit. But here's the thing. I keep giving James Harden chance after chance. And my grandmother called me the other day and she said, why? God bless your heart, baby. You don't know no better. He's not the same, Kendrick. And I said, you know what, Granny? You're right. He's not. And I think we got to accept that. You know, I was looking for the James Harden to come out and prove us all wrong. I thought James Harden was going to turn back the hands of time. Until I saw him switch, until I saw him call up a screen with Tyler Hero and Tony and Wilbon, he couldn't get past Tyler Hero. No disrespect to Tyler Hero, but he's not an elite defender. And so when I saw he couldn't get separation and things to that nature, I said, we have to accept this James Harden. And Granny was absolutely right.
Let me follow up with that real quick. Perk, can he be as effective as a playmaker? Can he find a new, I hate to say role, but can he evolve into like the supreme playmaker and have a similar impact on the game?
No. And look, that's not why he went to Philly. He didn't go to Philly to be a facilitator or a guy that, find a role to help guys get involved. No. Philly actually acquired him to come there and be a superstar alongside Joel Embiid. We all thought that James Harden was just fooling us and tricking us like he did in Houston to get out of Brooklyn to get to Philly. But no, I'm starting to believe this is him. And no, Philly cannot accept James Harden being the facilitator. And they're expecting him to give him a lot of money this summer. It can't happen.
Let me just say that next week we're going to get your grandmother on the show along with you because we like your grandmother at the moment. And I'll get you out of here on this. I'll move to the game that Wilbon cares about, the Mavericks and the Suns. They play game two tonight. Jason Kidd wants another Dallas player beyond Luka Doncic to join the party. Like, I look up and down that roster. I don't see that player, not on a consistent basis, but Wilbon does. What do you see?
What I see is that Phoenix is going to beat Dallas in four or maybe five games. And it's because of their style of play. Luka could go for 40. Jalen Brunson could go for 20. Defensively, the Phoenix Suns are tied together like shoelaces, and they're too good. And then here's the thing. The way that the Dallas Mavericks plays, right, you think about this Mavericks team. They like to go small, and they like to expose the center. We saw that last series with the Utah Jazz. You can't do that with DeAndre Ayton. And the Phoenix Suns will make you pay. And their center actually could beat you on the offensive end. DeAndre Ayton actually could win the game for the Suns, putting up 30 points and 10 or 15 rebounds. So unless the Dallas Mavericks are going to pull a center out of nowhere, they out of there for this series. They have no chance to compete with the Phoenix Suns.
He's so right. I said to Wilbon, it's a five-game series, and Wilbon's always, it'll be six. Stop. Thanks, Kendrick.
I think Brunson, big game from Brunson tonight, thanks. Chicago's own, but I agree with Perk. Look, I hope he's right. I'm in the desert. We want the Suns to win out here. Don't get me wrong now.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thanks, Perk. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, my good brothers. Thanks for having me.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Penguins and the Rangers, they go 3 OTs.
And did Madison Bumgarner deserve to get tossed after getting into it with an ump? So it's more than just NBA players getting tossed.
You just don't want to understand.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 75th birthday, Butch Beard. History lesson, kids. Beard played guard at Louisville with Wes Unseld. In 1969, Beard was the 10th overall pick in the NBA draft by Atlanta. He was an all-star once and played on an NBA championship team in 1975 in Golden State with Rick Barry. Beard played for 9 years in the NBA with 5 different teams, averaged about 9 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. After the NBA, Beard went into coaching. He took Howard to the NCAA tournament in 1982, coached the New Jersey Nets for 2 seasons, then went back to college coaching at Morgan State. Wilbon, you knew Beard at Howard, right?
Yes, at Howard, and subsequently, you know, coaching. I think he was an assistant with the Bullets or Wizards, whatever they were named for 1 year. Just one of those guys, Tony, you could sit, and if you shut up and take out a notebook, you could learn so much from Butch Beard. Just following him as a beat writer was like a masterclass. It was great.
Happy anniversary, Albert Pujols. On this day 4 years ago, Pujols got his 3,000th hit. He was playing for the Angels at the time, but will always be most associated with the Cardinals, where he started and now will end his career. In his first 10 years in St. Louis, Pujols had 445 home runs, 1,329 RBI, and he batted .328. Stunning numbers that earned comparisons to Babe Ruth. Pujols is back in St. Louis this year. He's got 2 homers and 5 RBI. All told, he's got 681 home runs and 3,310 hits. He needs just 6 hits to pass Eddie Collins for 11th place all-time in hits and 10 hits to pass Paul Molitor for 10th place.
These are the baseball numbers that matter, and his were a whole lot like Lou Gehrig. People can sit down and look at Baseball Encyclopedia line for line like Gehrig.
Happy trails to game one for the Rangers. It took 3 overtimes, but Evgeny Malkin's goal, 5 minutes, 58 seconds into the third, gave the Penguins a 1-0 lead in their series with the Rangers. And aren't we glad there's no shootout in the playoffs? Igor Shesterkin made 79 saves for the Rangers, but Penguins backup goalie Louis Domingue got the win with 17 saves. Domingue came in for Casey DeSmith in the second overtime. Domingue hadn't expected to play because he'd only played in 2 games this season. Domingue spent the break between the first 2 overtimes eating a bowl of spicy pork and broccoli that was meant for the post-game meal, and I'm quoting here, "It's not great," Domingue said later. In other hockey news, Barry Melrose got it right. The Capitals beat Florida in game one of their series.
Also, another Barry pick, the Avalanche, won big, and Edmonton plays tonight, needing a win for certain, Tone. Edmonton's got to win game two.
Let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Madison Bumgarner got ejected this afternoon after saying something to an umpire following a foreign substance check. Your thoughts?
The umpire doesn't appear to really look at Bumgarner's hand to see about the substance. I don't understand. The Seahawks and Buccaneers will play in the NFL's first regular season game in Germany. Does that matter?
They're sending Tom Brady to Germany? Really? They're not letting him play? They're sending him to Germany? Tyler Herro won the Sixth Man of the Year award. Is that okay by you?
Yeah, Kevin Love got a few votes, but that could have been unanimous. It was Heroes to award to halftime. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays again last night, have won 11 straight. They're going to sweep the Jays tonight?
No, the Jays are really good. They're at home, right? I don't believe they're going to lose them all. I don't. Last one. Will the Heat and the Suns both win again tonight?
The Heat should win, Tone. I know you and Perk are solid on the Suns in a 4-gamer, max 5. I think Dallas is going to rebound. Suns win the series, but I'm worried about tonight. Worried.
We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter. I may go to that game,
Tony. Worry too much about Phoenix.
That.